Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 6:33. Is there any public comment regarding our closed session items? Seeing none from the audience, we will go ahead and adjourn to closed session. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. I'm going to go ahead and open this session at 7:12. Let us, if I can ask everyone to rise. We're going to begin with the invocation. Is there anyone in the public that would like to offer one at this time? Okay, I'm going to read a poem. And the title of the poem is The World Needs Leaders by John C. Maxwell. The world needs leaders, and I'm going to say the district needs leaders, who use their influence at the right times for the right reasons, who take a little greater share of the blame and a little smaller share of the credit, who lead themselves successfully before attempting to lead others, who continue to search for the best answer, not the familiar one, who add value to the people and organization they lead, who work for the benefit of others and not for personal gain, who handle themselves with their heads and handle others with their hearts, who know the way, go the way, and show the way, who inspire and motivate rather than intimidate and manipulate, who live with people to know their problem and live with God in order to solve them, who realize that their dispositions are more important than their positions, who mold opinions instead of following opinion polls, who understand that an institution is the reflection of their character, who never place themselves above others except in caring responsibility, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who discipline themselves so they not be disciplined by others, who encounter setbacks and turn them into comebacks, who follow a moral compass that points in the right direction, regardless of the trends. Thank you. I'm going to ask our student representative, Megan, if she'll lead us in the flag salute.
Please join us in the flag salute. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Yolanda Jimenez.
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker.
Here.
Mrs. Polis.
Here.
Mr. Cox.
Here.
Mr. Spence. Ms. Manahan.
Here.
And Mrs. Kaplan.
Here.
Okay, I'm going to report on the action taken in closed session. It was moved by Ms. Paulos and seconded by Mr. Cox and approved to expel the following pupil from the district, from the schools of the district. Pupil 195341, Education Code 489-00-A2K. And the votes were 4 yes and there was 1 absent. The pupil is expelled and will not be eligible to apply for readmission until the date set in the rehabilitation plans. We also took the following action in closed session on January 10, 2012, with the subsequent action being reported in open session as required by law. It was moved by Ms. Shoemaker and seconded by Ms. Poulos that the following student has completed the terms and conditions of expulsion, has been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. Student 173026. It is recommended that the expulsion be lifted and the student enroll at West Covina High School. 4 yeses and 1 absent. Thank you. Okay, we do have a presentation to make at this time. I'd like to call forward the West Covina football team, and thank you very much. Okay. We'll come over here.
What?
Want to present to you a certificate on behalf of the Board of Education to recognize the high school football CIF champions and to tell you what an amazing game that was. My favorite play was when we scored, and then they took it back, and we said, oh, do you want to see it again? We'll just redo it.
That was my favorite play. So congratulations
Thank
to you,
you very
and the
much.
Team. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
You for your
it's an amazing season.
Thank you.
If you'd like to share a few words.
First of all, we did not try to run up the score. It's a little bit embarrassing. We wanted to win the game, but we don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm really proud to be at West Covina High School. I went to the school, Edgewood, in this district. I'm tremendously proud to be a part of it. We have a great program, a great school, tremendous support by the district and our site administration. I'm really proud of the kids. This year they improved each week like we asked them to do. They worked hard. They played their best at the end of the year, which is what we expect, and good things happen for them. And as good as they were on the field, I'm really proud of what they do off the field in representing our school and community the right way. So next year is going to be I'm sad to see some of those guys go, but we're going to move forward and do the best we can at bringing more pride and happiness to the community and the school. So thank you for this, and thank you for your support throughout the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Majori, so much. Thank you.
Can I say something? I just want to say something. Being new to the district, I heard a lot about you, especially at the games, people talking about you and the way you are with the kids. And I have to tell you how impressed I am. You know it takes a really good coach, leader. You could apply everything that the poem said to you and the team and the respect that you've gained from the kids and how well they play and their sportsmanship, which is always really important to me as well. So on behalf of the district, we really thank you for your dedication. You are admired by so many people, and you're admired by the deeds that you do with our students. So we're very, very honored to have you as our coach, and winning is phenomenal, and it makes us all really excited. But what you do with the kids as human beings, as a total person, is what we admire the most. So thank you, and I know your family's here, and they're very, very proud of you. And so on behalf of the district and your family, we really do appreciate what you do for us and our kids.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And that's another West Covina touchdown!
Woo! Oh, so much fun, the game. Okay, for the board president's report, what I'd like to say is I'd like to thank the board for electing me president. This is my first meeting as president. I'm really excited. It's going to be an exciting year to work with Ms. Kaplan and work with the board in shaping the year. And I'm thrilled about our strategic plan and moving that forward. If there's anything to place on the agenda, not a problem. Go ahead and email me or call me. Everybody has my cell phone number, and I look forward to working with each of you. Anybody else have a Board of Education report?
I just wanted to say I had the opportunity to go to West Covina High School and see their presentation on how to get money for college. It was excellent. The staff there was, people had so many questions, and they were willing to stay and answer those questions. It was a great night, and there were a lot of parents there. So it just says a lot for the high school and getting the word out and then how accommodating they were. And Ms. Majori was there, so I guess it's a Majori night. Their mom has a lot to be proud of. And I just want to say how much Mike Majori has meant to my son when he was there. He has special needs. And I think some people are angels in disguise. And I think the Majori family is that. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Cox?
No. Yeah, just real quickly, I do appreciate Mike and the Majori family, what they've done to the school district. The key thing that I'm looking forward to now is a 20-minute 5K. Thank you.
Ms. Manahan, your report.
Tonight, I do not have the report for Edgewood or Coronado, but for West Covina, we are finishing our finals this week, our first semester finals, and our final grades will be posted next week. So, you know, everyone's kind of freaking out about that. And we did have our financial aid night, last week, and we had over 500 students, so it was very beneficial to us to go and hear what we had to do for college. Now we're just working on spring registration, and we're
going to middle schools and recruiting students for the 2012-2013 school year. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Shoemaker.
It has been several meetings where we have not had a report from Coronado High School or Edgewood High School, and I see Mr. Travatore sitting here, so if you can do what you can to help facilitate Edgewood getting a report to the student rep, I would appreciate it. And if somebody can contact Coronado and find out what's going on there. And now that Mr. Morantis is back at Coronado, who at the district office is going to be facilitating the exchange between the three students?
Actually, I will talk to him about that, and I think it would be great if he could continue that.
Okay, thank you. Why don't we go ahead and take just a real quick moment, a break, because I know some of you may want to go ahead and leave. The presentations are done, and we're going to get to the meeting component. So we'll just take 1 minute just so that people can, if they want to, they can leave or stay.
You guys are great. Oh, wonderful family. You have to be a great mom to have such wonderful kids.
No,
you are. It's okay to think that because you are.
Yeah. I just think it was appropriate. If the kids were here. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and our 1 minute is up. We're going to call this meeting back into order. Yeah, since there's no blue cards, we're going to go ahead. Is there anyone else who has any public comment from the floor? Oh, we do. Okay. Go to the microphone. Oh, thank you. I love
and
you.
And why is she getting those flowers? Because you're so proud of her and she's the president?
Here.
Way embarrassed.
That didn't anything to embarrass them. No. I just want everyone to know what's happening.
Cherry.
But get a picture, get a picture. Hold it up.
There we go.
Hold it up so they can see it.
Okay, take the picture.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, girls. Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to the business session. Thank you so much. Okay, we are going to approve the agenda and consent items. Is there anyone who will move this?
Do you want any changes?
Well, don't we have to move it and second it before then we can make changes and all that, right? No? Okay, changes first. Anybody want to take anything off of consent? Nope. Anybody want to add anything onto consent? I was going to ask to add number 4. Any objections to that? The consultant service agreement?
That's already.
That's not.
It's not on consent.
It's not on consent.
Right. Oh, you want to put on consent?
Uh-huh. And no objections? Okay, I'm going to add that to consent.
Steve, I would like to just hear a little bit
about what. Not a problem. Okay, so we are going to go ahead. Who will move the approval of the agenda and consent items?
I'll
I'll move as presented.
Thank you. It's been moved by Ms. Poulos and seconded by Mr. Cox to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of January 10th, 2012. And the ayes?
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? Any abstentions? Okay, then we will go ahead and move on to item number 4.
At our last meeting, we arranged a date for our board to have our first annual, I'd like to hope, retreat, basically organizational meeting. And because this is our first meeting and I'm a new superintendent, I thought it would be really helpful for us to have a consultant who could facilitate this for us. Dr. Gloria Johnson is a retired superintendent, and you can see by her resume has had a lot of experience as a superintendent. But since her retirement, she's been doing interim superintendency, but she's a consultant, a coach, and a facilitator, very used to working with boards of education and superintendents, and she's actually written books about it and has also been a presenter at many organizations. I think you'll really like her. She's very experienced, very practical. Right now she is interim superintendent at Claremont, and although that's not something she's doing right now, as a favor she agreed to work with us on the 28th. Basically the goals for those days, or the goal for that day, is really to work on strategies to enhance our board superintendent relationship and practices, including my evaluation, goal setting for me, if the board wants goal setting for themselves, and board self-evaluation. And that's just really an organizational meeting for her to get us started with our new president and your new superintendent.
Thank
you. Okay.
I have questions.
So
the $2,000 cost is just for?
It's for all the planning and the. And
I understand,
the
but it's just for this
one time.
Dealing with the deal, just with the board and that. It's not this ongoing, because we talked about this sort of an ongoing 3 to 6 month type process, so she won't be involved with any other staff or anything else. It's strictly
right
the
now.
Relationship.
She actually does strategic planning, but she's not available to do that for us. What I'd like to suggest is that she come and we evaluate it and we decide if we want, if we need or want it to continue. I think the strategic planning itself will continue whatever we start on that day, but this is really just for that particular day.
I understand. Okay. And how did you? How was she referred to you, or did you see her while we were in San Diego?
I actually met her through our SELPA. She's one of our SELPA because of Claremont, and she invited me out to lunch, and the more I got to know her and what she did and how she has supported other school districts, I asked her if she'd be willing to work with us. So it was kind of one of those chance meetings of somebody that I really felt very positive about in terms of what we'd like to see happen on that day.
Ms. Shoemaker, any questions? Ms. Poulos.
No, I look forward to the day.
Me too.
We are going to start at 9:30 because Mike can't start until 9, and I really think it's important that we're all there at the same time. So.
Okay, who will move this?
I'll move.
Thank you. Who will second it?
I will.
Thank you, Ms. Poulos. It's been moved by Mr. Steve Cox and seconded by Cami Poulos to approve the consultant services agreement with Gloria Johnston, Dr. Gloria Johnston. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And all those noes?
No.
Okay. And okay, thank you. Okay, we are going to go ahead and move on to item number 8, the approval of the special education local plan. I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Kaplan.
Okay. Our SELPA at the beginning of this year made a decision to give notice to LA County that we were interested in changing the AU, the designated AU for the SELPA, from the county to another district within our SELPA. The county had been the AU since 1981-82. In order to do that, you have to send a letter to the county a year and a day giving notice. And there is a process in which every district within the SELPA has the opportunity to apply for the AU. There is a committee that was developed through the SELPA in terms of looking at the applications and making a recommendation.
Covina Valley was the only district that actually put in an application, and at our last SELPA meeting, Mr. Rivera was at the meeting, and the superintendent was available by conference call, and all SELPA superintendents had the opportunity to look at the proposal and to ask questions and have them answered. At the end of that meeting, it has to be a unanimous vote, and we unanimously voted to have Covina Valley as the AU. The next step is it goes to each board for each local district, and the board, it has to be unanimous for boards to agree to it. In order to do this, we actually have to change the local plan, because the local plan currently has LA County, and you received a copy of the local plan to see the changes, and really the changes only referred to Covina Valley. We felt that this was a really positive change for our SELPA for many reasons. One, it provides more local control, and I believe that that's been something that the SELPA districts have wanted for a while. The other thing that obviously right now, as we're all looking at our budgets, the proposal came in at approximately for half of what we're paying the county in terms of we would pay Covina Valley for the service. And one of the other benefits that I particularly was really pleased with is that Mr. Rivera, the CBO for Covina Valley, although he's new to this SELPA, has had a lot of experience, I believe 13 years experience working as the AU for other SELPAs. So right now we're bringing it to you. We need unanimous vote, and I asked Kathy Calbert, the SELPA director, to be here in case there were any questions and to introduce her to you. I don't know if you've had the opportunity of meeting her. And Mr. Rivera, the CBO, in case you have any questions specifically in terms of the new organization. So maybe I'll ask you guys to go to the microphone and see if there are any questions.
Hi, thank you so much for coming.
Sure.
We'll go ahead and begin. Do you have any questions? Okay. Ms. Shoemaker? Okay. Ms. Poulos.
What will happen to the classes that the county is running right now? I noticed later on in the agenda we are approving meals for the county classes at Willowood and at Cortez. Will they continue to be available to us?
Transferring the administrative unit doesn't have anything to do with the county programs. That's a completely separate. The county serves two functions for our SELPA. They have been serving as the administrative unit, but they also are a provider of programs, and it gets very confusing because it's all part of LACO, but they are two completely different jobs. And so all we're doing is transferring the administrative unit. The county programs will continue exactly as they have been, other than the changes that you as a district are making.
When we talked about it last year, it sounded like the county was saying that they might pull some of their classes back. Did I misunderstand? That they might, all of the services they were providing at a cost to us may not be available if they were no longer the administrative unit. So I might have misunderstood.
I can only answer that third hand because I wasn't in the
room at
the time, and what I have heard said is that when our SELPA has given this notice to LACO on more than one occasion in the past, and at the time that Darlene Robles was the LA County Superintendent, and this same notice was given, the notice was given to change the administrative unit and also to transfer back programs, as it was this time. It's been done on several occasions in history. And what I've heard is that when that notice was given, when Darlene Robles was superintendent, she said, if you're going to take back any programs, you must just take it back all. She was happy with that thought, and so said, then you take everything. The current superintendent, Dr. Delgado, is not of that belief. He's believes in supporting districts, and the superintendents had already made the decision early back in September not to proceed with the transfer of programs from LA County, but only to continue proceeding with the administrative unit.
Okay.
So we've split them off.
The current staff, it looked like that you were going to try to keep them. If the county, do we have to wait for the county to release them?
It will take place at the end of the fiscal year. So it's not anyone moving from a LACO employee to a Covina Valley employee would have to follow the steps of resignation and so on, but because it's going to occur at the end of a fiscal year, there wouldn't be. We don't anticipate any problems with that. It's a time for typical movement.
So as of June 30th, the employees would be, the SELPA employees would be employees of LACO, and then effective July 1, they would become employees of Covina Valley.
And are they transferring with the same benefits? And what I'm trying to think is, are they all going to stay, because is it going to be...
That still has to be worked
all worked out. So is there a chance that some... there was only three employees that were mentioned, that they will elect not to come?
It's always a possibility. It will be up to each individual person in the discussion that takes place.
But the intent is whatever is in existence today is what's going to continue in the future.
And I believe the facility they're at now is a Covina Valley school, correct? Or
the land is Covina Valley, but the building is owned by LACO.
And then what's going to happen? I know, and it's not that old. So are they going to, what's going to happen with the building?
We'll have to have negotiations with LA County, with LACO over that.
Maybe you can get it for a dollar like we got.
Well, that's actually what we're hoping is that we can do that, exactly that. But that will be part of the discussion.
Okay. Those were the only questions. I know that this has been in the works for quite a while, and at half the cost, who can balk that? And it looked like it was just going to go, the next year was just going to go up, go down slightly. But there's no anticipation in the third year what that'll be, because it says it's up for renegotiation. There's no way we don't, I know there's no way to predict, but it won't skyrocket, will it?
No, the intent the intent of that schedule was first, the first year of conversion, you're going to have some additional costs because there's just additional work that needs to be done. The second year, the reason the costs went down is because those additional costs were backed out. We're going to develop an analysis of what it cost us to operate the SELPA, and then the reason for two-year agreements, so that way we can have a discussion and bring back information if there was going to be some additional cost, and people would know in advance, but we would have 2 years worth of data to be able to support.
Okay.
And the purpose, the fee schedule that was created is a flat fee schedule. Mm-hmm. It's not percentage based off your funding, which is what you have in place now.
Right.
So all districts will be paying the same for the service because they're receiving the same level of service. So once we analyze what the cost is, if there's going to be additional costs, then those discussions will take place well in advance. And there is no plans to skyrocket those costs. It would be it would be consistent with what was put in place initially.
It looked like $1,500 for non-district members. How did you come to that calculation? Because I think it was 17-something thousand for us and then 17,000 the second year.
Sure, the fee schedule for the unified districts, which are the districts,
mm-hmm.
when you look at what the costs are now and you look at the smallest district, it's pretty close to that $17,000 number. The charter schools, their allocations are much less.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at their fee schedules, the fee schedule is determined based off of what an average charter school is paying now because the economy of scale there's going to be a minimum fee for them. And for the most part, they're going to be paying less than what they are paying now, but the cost that they're being charged by LACO is nominal. So we felt that would be, $1,200 or $1,500 would be reasonable for what they're receiving, given the size of the budget that they're working with.
And what's the ADA for the different charters that we have in the SELPA?
Well, the funding for them fluctuates greatly. So I don't have that information with me.
I don't have it with me either, but I would say there's anywhere from a couple of hundred to...
Well, I know ours does. So, and then I know there were some smaller.
But yours is not an LEA charter. Yours is.
We have two.
Oh, San Jose.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And one's with us, and the other isn't. I was just looking at the flat rate, and I know some of the charters may be very small, and you know, in compared to Edison. So I was just, but you just looked at it to make sure it was affordable. There was a fee that, I mean, since they had, they didn't have the kind of income that we had, or ADA, because it was a flat fee for all of them.
I did the analysis two ways. First, okay. Looking at each individual position within the district that was going to be providing support to the SELPA, and then trying to quantify that through an FTE count and then coming up with a dollar amount. Second is looking at the schedule that was paid to see what would be a equitable fashion to apply a fee schedule. So what we have is what would be seem reasonable and fair to all, and not to have districts pay more than what they're paying now, even the charter schools.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out how that all worked with the sizes, there being such a disparity in the sizes of the charters, I believe, that are in the district, well, and the SELPA.
That's why the flat fee schedule, right. That everyone pays the same amount, it's not contingent on their funding, because if you look at the charges, some districts pay significantly more than others simply because of their funding source.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it, you know, when you pay for a service, it's a flat fee, and then we can evaluate that fee, you know, once we have all 2 years' worth of data and see if there needs to be any adjustments in the fee schedule.
Those are all the questions I had.
Thank you. Any other questions? Ms. Shoemaker?
You stated that you don't anticipate 2 years from now the fees for the administrative unit skyrocketing. My question to you is, if for some reason they do and a member district no longer wants Covina Valley to be the administrative unit, how will that be handled with giving notice that we don't want you to be the administrative unit and changing the administrative unit?
I
know it's a what if, but at this point, you're saying that you can offer a service for half what LA County is offering, and while that's not surprising, it is still two government agencies. So I'm sort of curious as to, one, how you're able to do it for half, and two, what the likelihood is that it will skyrocket, and three, how we then remove Covina Valley as an administrative unit if we're not looking at the adjustment the third year until the third year.
I can't speak to how the schedule is computed now for what is being charged and how those rates were determined. How Covina Valley is addressing it is we're looking at what we can provide the service for. If this was not to happen, the reality is that we would have to look at more budget cuts. So this is a way of subsidizing some of the positions that we have in lieu of making cuts. Secondly, if we look at the future, we're not looking at, when you say skyrocketing costs, we would be, to me, a skyrocketing cost would be if we would have to spend 10% more. But we would have some justification and discussion. I am part of the conferences, the committees, as part of the SELPA. So this would be conveyed out well in advance to the CBOs and to my colleagues as to what we have seen the year one and year two. So when you say skyrocketing costs, for me, that language means 10%. So if we're looking at a $200,000 contract, maybe we would be looking at a $20,000 increase in 2 years. If we have some different data, we would bring that back. And my goal is to communicate as much as possible and put the information in front of the CBOs and also the superintendents, so that way we understand what we're dealing with. That's why we have a two-year cap, because we don't really know from an operational standpoint, because each SELPA operates differently. I've participated in four SELPAs. I've been the administrative unit for one SELPA for 13 years. Business is not the same for each SELPA. Mm-hmm. So after we have 2 years worth of data, we can report back as to how this SELPA is operating, and some of that is just sharing of information, because that's what you do when you look at a new cost model and you look at allocations, and even districts declining in ADA because their funding sources are different. We analyze the data, we have a discussion, and we have that deliberation before anything takes place. So it's my goal to provide that information well in advance before any discussions or any negotiations.
Oh. The reason I ask is because we had originally given notice that we were going to remove LACO as the administrative unit, and it was based on Baldwin Park stating that, you know, they would be able to do it. We went through the whole process, and Baldwin Park said, nope, brakes on, we can't afford to do it. We're not going to do it. Covina Valley has now stepped up. It concerns me that, one, I don't recall us ever being told that requests for proposals were going out regarding this. There was no discussion that West Covina wasn't going to participate in that, so that's an issue we'll have to address later. But it's troubling to hear that part of the reason that Covina Valley wants to become the administrative unit is to help with their budget. Because at this point, the budget's not getting better for any of us. And so my concern is you become the administrative unit and you're using the SELPA as a way to sort of plug a couple of holes. What happens as the budgets continue to get worse? Will you have to think about laying off some of the people who are supposed to be doing SELPA work? And how are you going to show what percentage of an employee is working on the SELPA? Because when Baldwin Park first stated they wanted to be the administrative unit, they were willing to hire people who were specifically going to be doing that work. And maybe that's why they decided it was too expensive. But how is Covina Valley going to address if their budget continues to get worse and the fact that this is being used as sort of a stopgap?
There's assurances in the proposal that the district was going to provide X level of service and staff was going to be designated. So those positions are going to be intact as part of the agreement with the SELPA.
But it says that the positions are not going to be, from what I read, that they're not solely going to be for the SELPA. They will take on some duties of the SELPA. For example, yourself, you're clearly not only going to be the head of the SELPA as the chief business officer for Covina Valley.
He's not the head of the SELPA.
Exactly. That's my point. So he is going to be working with the SELPA, but he is not the head of the SELPA. That is not his 100% position. So he is going to be dividing himself amongst many duties. And so when we're looking at the cost, how are we going to assess, okay, this person spent 25% of their time, so the cost should be allocated to the SELPA 25% of their time?
It sounds like maybe your question is, how are they going to track what costs are attributed to the SELPA so that at the end of 2 years they know whether or not mm-hmm. they had recouped sufficient costs?
Yes.
Well, in the first of all, at this point, I can't give you a specific answer as to how this equation is all going to work, because part of the transition that we need to do with the SELPA and with LACO is to go through a transitioning process to find out the scope of the responsibilities. There's some costs that LACO charges as direct cost, and there's some costs that are being assigned as a percentage of your funding. So as we transition to see, are these activities can be absorbed within our normal operation and not increase the cost of to the SELPA, or are there some things that we're going to have to identify, have people work overtime, and allocate some additional percentages to our staff, because we're talking about the director of fiscal, the manager, myself, account clerks, payroll clerks. So some of this is that we have to take 2 years worth of data to assess if we are going to have, you know, what this really is costing us. I believe from my experience in dealing, being the director of an AU, being the director of fiscal service for an AU for a two-district SELPA, 50,000 ADA, that has been captured in this proposal. And having done the reporting and working with the superintendents and the program directors, that this proposal is adequate to capture all the cost. What I'm not sure of, because I haven't been with the SELPA for more than 6 months, is how our SELPA works and whether there's any special nuances. And after 2 years, I think we'll have enough data to assess that and then bring that information to the SELPA on a regular basis and see that the costs are appropriate or that there's some additional costs. In the proposal, there's not going to be any additional costs passed on to the SELPA. That is the cap. So even if we have to bring in VTD as a consultant or hire additional staff for additional hours, that is all capped. That's within the allocation that we're receiving.
Can I also add to that, because their initial proposal is at about half the cost of LACO, there's quite a cushion there for the discovery that there it may cost more to run to, as the AU than they initially anticipate. Doubling would be, I don't think it's expected. I don't expect it as a SELPA director. I don't expect that their costs are going to be doubled if their costs are going to be the same as LACO. I'm confident we're going to find out the costs are less, just based on the kinds of things that I know that are embedded in LACO costs. Additionally, transfer of an AU, the motive is not primarily financial to the SELPA, to the districts. The motive is for, the primary goal is for greater local control of the finances. And when we start with greater local control over the administrative unit, then the next step in looking at bringing back programs, transferring programs from LACO, is easier when the SELPA is not part of the administrative unit. So it's a step in the process of the long-term goal of bringing back programs from LA County office, which may be it may be a net zero. That's the fact that it's at half the cost right now is sort of a perk, but really we wouldn't necessarily have originally thought that we would save half the money. We thought we would save some, but not necessarily half. But again, it's a step in the process towards the larger goal, and that's of returning programs to districts.
And can I?
And that's where the savings.
Add to that is the organization of our SELPA now is by having an AU as one of our members. Ms. Rivera is part of the CBOs when they meet. You know, I'm part of the superintendents when they meet, and Kim is part of the program administrators. So there's transparency. There's not this entity out there who's running it for us. There's mm-hmm. complete transparency. There's the opportunity to have very direct conversations about costs, which I don't think we've had in the past. So I think this is the first step, but I think the process itself is going to be much more transparent in terms of asking the kinds of questions you're asking and getting the kind of answers that we need on a timely basis.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay. So for the approval of the special education local plan area, who will move it?
I'll move it.
Thank you, Ms. Poulos. Who will second it?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Okay, so this is to approve the revised SELPA local plan as presented. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those against?
No.
Okay, it is passed 4-1. Okay, thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
I have a quick question. If we don't pass it unanimously, that's okay?
No, we...
As a SELPA, it has to be unanimous.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, thank you. We move on to the next item on the agenda, and that's one of our high schools. We're excited to have not only the principal, but I can see plenty of teachers and staff joining us for the presentation on Edgewood High School. I will turn this over to Ms. Kaplan.
What we try to have as part of... all of our board meetings is some informational regarding what's going on in our schools and our district. And we thought it was very timely to bring Edgewood High School to you. As you know, they had a visit from the IB program. We're anticipating certification and next year starting with our IB. And we thought it was a really timely opportunity to share with you where we've been and where we're going. And so bring our staff up.
Well, good evening, members of the board, superintendent, cabinet, community members, and of course the Edgewood family. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to outline the progress that we've achieved at Edgewood High School since inception a year and a half ago. I've prepared a brief PowerPoint presentation to share with all of you, and additionally I've taken the liberty of assembling a folder with documentation relating to Edgewood High School that ties in with this presentation. I'd like to start with our current and future enrollment projections. This academic school year, 11-12, we have approximately 211 ninth graders, 201 10th graders, total of 412. And I'd like to put this number into context. The 412 represents students from all of our feeder middle schools, and of course those from outside the district who are on inter-district permit. The breakdown is approximately 40% of our students are from Edgewood Middle School, 20% had attended Walnut Grove, 12% are from San Jose Edison, 8% are from Holland Crest, and 20% are from outside of the district. One of the original goals that I think you all are acquainted with of opening Edgewood High School was to provide an alternative choice to West Covina High School, which would by extension both retain students who would have left the district and also to attract students from outside the district. And we believe this goal has been realized. 2012-13, we're projecting additional infusion of 200 kids, and of course 2013-14, backfilling with another 200, so bring us up to approximately 800 students with four grade levels. Our faculty and support staff is as follows. We have 19 teachers, and I'll pause for a moment to give commendation. These are the most dedicated, innovative, and collaborative teachers I think I've ever worked with in my career. And I want to give you an example to exemplify this. Last Saturday night, we had a cram session for finals. Saturday night. We had 10 teachers attend this. I'll reiterate, Saturday night. Their own volition, no compensation at all, asked for, to recognize and an opportunity to support students. 80 of our students attend, again, on their own volition. This wasn't compulsory. We didn't mail letters to parents and things like that. So that 80 students constituted 20% of our student body to take advantage of this opportunity. So I think that's very exemplary. And again, this typifies my point here of our teachers being pretty special. Programs don't run themselves. And Edgewood High School teachers, I think we can attest to, are at the cutting edge of developing and implementing intervention and enrichment opportunities for kids. In addition, we have a counselor, we have assistant principal, clerical support, resource specialists and psychologists, instructional aides, security, and also custodial staff to support us each and every day. We prepared a list of schools in the surrounding community and their 2011 API scores. And I'm happy to trumpet our API score in, again, relation to the schools in our surrounding districts. And my next couple of remarks, the intent is not to minimize our teachers' and students' hard work to achieve, but I actually do have to put that 789 score in context. Our ninth graders, of course, took the CSD Star, and so that score is based off of that. Comprehensive four-year high schools, it's more involved. Obviously, there's the Casey, there's graduation rate, et cetera, which I'm sure you're aware of. So, again, I'm not trying to deflate our achievement by any means. We're still very proud. But our goal is 825 for this upcoming year. And, of course, the Casey Census exam, which is coming up in March, all of our 10th graders will be taking that. We're preparing in earnest for that, and that's a huge component of the AYP score, by extension the API score. And there's a myriad of interventions in place that we're preparing our students for. And I also want to take a second just to describe the diversity proficiency-wise at our school. Of course, we have honors, and we'll even extend the pre-IB student label. We have students performing at benchmark, but we do have students performing below proficiency and language learners and students with disabilities. So they're all part of our enrollment, all part of our family, and you know, we're dedicating our resources towards bringing all those kids up to proficiency. And see, that's the beauty of Edgewood High School is, you know, there's multiple draws to enroll at our school. It could be the International Baccalaureate Program, which we'll speak to in a second. It could be infusion of technology into the curriculum. But the small learning community is huge, and this is an excellent fit for students who need additional support and or individualized attention. We have a different type of learning environment in a multitude of ways. We really wanted to increase access to unique enrichment opportunities, and I'll kind of qualify this. We have a show choir class, which is unique. I think I don't know if there's many such classes in the surrounding area. We have a music theater class. And yearbooks, not that exotic, but I also put ASB. And the reason I'm listing those four is because we provide these opportunities 0 and 7th period. So, well, why would we do that? Because we don't want kids to have to make a choice or a trade-off with enrichment opportunities. We want them to fulfill the A through G requirements. And that could be a foreign language course, art, et cetera. So, again, the thrust here is we want to try to provide unique opportunities in the way of enrichments for our kids. And Mandarin. I have to put that up there. I know West Covina High School has Mandarin, which is great, but many of our schools around us, high schools, don't have that opportunity, so I'd like to list that there. But we also have special program course sequencing. We have ninth graders taking biology in many schools. That doesn't occur until 10th grade. Also, ninth graders taking world history. Again, that doesn't occur until 10th grade in most schools. And we have 10th graders taking government and economics. And many of the students enrolled in these courses are preparing for the IB curriculum, which begins their 11th and 12th grade year. So that's kind of the intent of that. Infusion of tech into the curriculum. You know, you hear about the laptops all the time. We have wireless connectivity. Every student's issued a laptop, much like they would a textbook. We're heavy into Google applications and that collaborative component of that. There's online textbook access. Within the classroom, additional tools. Every teacher has a document camera, LCD projector. And we have the Airliner wireless handheld tablets, which affords teachers opportunities to be mobile in the classroom. And they won't be getting too many spitballs to the back of their head because they're, you know, working on the chalkboard type of thing. So, but, you know, these bells and whistles are amazing. I'm still learning them. I'm trying to understand them. They weren't around when I started teaching. So, you know, the learning curve is there for all of us with these technological innovations. And so on that note, you know, what do we utilize them in what ways? How do we instructionally infuse those in the curriculum? So, of course, students doing presentations, the communication piece, we talked about the Google Apps, opportunities to collaborate, not only the students, but also the teachers and the students, shared folders, et cetera, word processing, spreadsheets, images and sound, and also to conduct research. We do have a subscription with CSIRS, which is an online database where our kids can tap into. In order to get the latest research when preparing reports, presentations, doing research for essays. So we're proud to offer that opportunity to kids. IB, it's been a long, arduous process. You know, we're almost at the end of the road, knock on wood, I hope. Some milestones achieved, as Ms. Kaplan had indicated. We did have an authorization team visit us right before Thanksgiving, November 3rd and 4th. And, you know, as a principal, very intrusive. You know, they're coming in much like the WASC accreditation team. So that was a multi-faceted process, but there we go. You know, we're now just waiting for authorization. I don't want to jinx it, but they said, we'll call you, don't call us type of thing. So it's approximately 2 months or so until we get that information. So the clock's ticking. We're hoping to get notification this month or next month because we had promised students when they enrolled last year and the year prior that we would have this ready to go for them at the start of their 11th grade year. We've submitted all the IB course outlines, completed application A and B, ongoing consultation with our IB consultant who's kind of been shepherding us through the process, and, of course, teachers, IB training for teachers, counselors, administration, so on and so forth. So we feel we've done everything on our part. We're just kind of waiting for that formal authorization. WASC accreditation status, as you're aware, West Covina High School just went through that process. A little different when you're a new school. So last year, they didn't really do much with us. They're really tracking the cohort, so they're looking at our 10th graders this year. So what we had to do is submit initial school description report. That's the second year, and that's where we are right now. So we sent that off to Burlingame up in Central California in December, a couple weeks ago. Stage two is a one-day site visitation, and that should be in February. So we're waiting for notification on the exact day of that. And then they disappear for a bit. They don't come back again until the student's senior year, so that'll be 2013-14. And that'll be a two-day authorization visit. And after that, you know, the goal is not a six-year accreditation. It doesn't work that way when you're in a new school. They'll kind of give us a timeline then when they come back. So it's a little bit different process than if you're a comprehensive school that's been in existence for multiple years. And extracurricular activities, you know, that's always the question. What do you offer kids outside of all these academic opportunities? So we are proud to announce at the beginning of this year that we have been admitted into CIF. And so we have these sanctioned sports through CIF that we offer, from cross-country, volleyball, tennis, basketball, so on and so forth. And at the bottom, there's two sports. There's an asterisk. These are sports we're looking to add this year, which is co-ed swimming and also track. So we're happy to continue to expand these athletic opportunities for kids. Don't have that football team yet, so Mr. Majori doesn't have anything to worry about, I think, yet. Type of thing. But clubs and enrichment, that's key. You know, we have a ASB Renaissance program. We have academic decathlon. And I have to stop for a minute. These kids are going up against seniors and juniors who are polished. And we're doing really well with that. So they're going to be so prepared when they're juniors and seniors. having kind of gotten whipped a little bit as ninth graders, but we're holding our own. Mock trials, speech and debate, same thing. You know, we're going up against schools that are very polished. With book club, Renaissance, yearbook, service club, Spanish club, technology club, interact, cheer. So we don't want kids to have to make a choice again, or that trade-off thing where, hey, if I come to Edgewood High School, you know, it's strong in academics, but there are no extracurricular opportunities. We're trying to offer a full slate of those for kids to subscribe to. And this last slide here, Edgewood High School, Edgewood Middle School Learning Community, we're two schools that reside on one campus, and we're very fortunate in that regard because I see there's a multitude of opportunities to pool our resources, additionally share enrichment opportunities for them for the betterment of the entire Edgewood learning community. So ASB, for example, you know, that meets zero period. Well, it meets zero period for the middle school as well. So we have high school ASB students as role models and capacity building for the younger ASB students in the middle school. So that's a great opportunity. Elective teachers, we have some elective teachers with specific skills and specialized training expertise that both schools can benefit from. So some of these folks have split assignments between the two schools. Productions and recitals that we can offer opportunities for kids from both schools, assemblies, special events, open mic night, open to both populations. And this is key as well as the TeachGate program and also the vertical articulation piece. Like last year, we had middle school teachers touring, doing classroom walkthroughs at Edgewood High School so they can kind of see the connections between what we're teaching and what the high school teachers are teaching as well. So those opportunities lend well when it's two schools that share one common campus. So that's it for my formal presentation and questions related to anything I presented.
Okay. Mr. Cox, do you have any questions?
Thank you very much. This is great.
Thank you, sir.
Pleased to see this. It sounds like we're moving forward in you know, what we'd hoped to happen, and actually better than what we'd hoped to happen. I had hoped that we would reduce some of the I won't call them crowded conditions at the high school, but at West Covina High School, and we certainly have a lot of kids going to school there, but it doesn't sound like we've had a significant drop there, and yet we have 400 kids at Edgewood and hopefully up to 800, so that's a great thing. That's really good, and especially the divergence of where you're drawing from, which is, again, exceptional. So thank you very much. Thank you for the teachers. You're doing it very, very well. I noticed a photo that you've got here in these extracurricular opportunities, and there is a band program. You don't have this. There's a picture of a band, but you don't have it listed here. Is that, do you have a band program? Or
I'm sorry, my oversight. That should have been under those unique enrichment opportunities. That also meets zero period. My band teacher is going to kill me. So, again, you don't have to make a choice. You can be in ASB. You can be in band and still take a foreign language. Please don't tell Ms. Bauer that. yes, and you know what? They performed for principals, district administration right before Christmas, a couple doors down, and that was great to have that opportunity to showcase. It's a jazz band, jazz ensemble.
Oh,
so,
yeah. So that's it. So the percussion group that was practicing at the high school on Sunday, were those your kids?
That was a different group. That's a group that outside organization that facilities use agreement wanted to come in and use.
Oh,
they're a marching band, and so they needed a big space for that.
I thought, man, if you put together something like that in short two periods with ninth and tenth graders, oof, they were very, very good in the program. So
sure. Well, that's on the list.
Cow, so
that's on the list.
Something to ascribe to then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Shoemaker? Yeah. Mr. Spence?
Well, one, I have to say I still don't like the Spartan blue colors, but anyways, over there. I guess how many middle school students are over there now?
Approximately 600.
We're down to 600. So when this is full, when the full 800, there's going to be 1,400 kids there approximately?
Correct.
1,400 kids. Because you guys are doing a great job. I just have two concerns. One is the utilization of the facility. Because obviously that school site can accommodate more than 1,400 kids, and we're underutilizing it now. Mm-hmm. It's not, it's our third or fourth largest school. And I'm a little concerned because I'd like to see the high school program grow there, because I don't think we've made a dent at the population of West Covina High at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, 400 kids. I don't think we've really made that kind of dent. And the second thing is, and I've expressed this before, is the issue of extracurricular activities. Because this is such a focus on the A through G requirements, getting to college now, it's much harder than it used to be. And it's not just grades, but they look at all those extracurricular activities. And if there's, you know, and I think because of the size, we're not able to offer a lot of opportunities that we could probably offer if we found more students that were willing to participate in the IB program.
Sure.
And to grow it there. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, from my point of view, we have a great nucleus there. But I'd like to see it grow so that we can offer more students the opportunity, but also offer more opportunities to those students that are there. Because I think because of the size, it ends up being kind of limited.
Sure. Point taken.
And it's a big campus.
Mm-hmm. We started having conversations about
that.
Now that once we get the IB accreditation.
Yeah, once we get the accreditation. Yeah.
And if we've got the students there now without it, we expect it to grow. But we're also looking at ways that we can make sure that it's even looking at the middle years and make, you know, the possibility of making it, you know, all focused on IB. So we're looking at the future as well. This is where we are now, but
right.
We're in the process of having conversations of how we can work on where we are and get to the next step.
I mean, you're doing a great job there. You're doing a great job there. I wish there was ways that we could get more, more kids to benefit from what you're doing there.
Thank you.
Ms. Poulos.
What percentage of the students are interested in the IB program that are there now?
No, far more than that. What were the exact numbers we quoted? Yeah, about 70, 80 students now. And here's the thing, you know, we believe in access and equity and access, rather. So with IB, you know, the goal is to have every student in it all the way, essentially. So they're going for that IB diploma. But there are opportunities to obtain just the certificate, and that's kind of the piecemeal aspect of it, much like the AP program. So we're reaching out to certain kids and saying, look, you know, you may be intimidated. This may be daunting to try to commit to something like this. But, well, what are your strengths? What are your areas where we could kind of cultivate and see if you can partake in this? So, you know, the number that I just quoted was full inclusion into the IB diploma program. But we're looking to try to recruit some more kids who just may take one aspect of it type of thing, and then maybe the following year take more courses type of thing. So
when you said 70 to 80, that wasn't percent. That was number of students, correct?
Yes, of the okay. 400, yeah. So approximately 40 each grade level, yeah.
And then, first of all, I want to say went to the open house, and to see the students, the choral present after 2 weeks was phenomenal, and the band present. They had barely been in school, and you could tell there was a lot of enthusiasm, and they did a great job in that short amount of time. So
thank you.
I look forward to seeing them at back to school night because I'm sure they're going to be much improved, and it was beyond belief what they could do in such a short period of time. So I believe the offerings are starting to be there, and my question is, how are you doing the word of mouth? Because when I'm asking students, how did you choose this? They may have a brother or sister who attended as a ninth grader, and so they decided to join as a ninth grader. When I ask the same question to Hollencrest students, because there's only 20%, they're less likely to have a friend or a sibling who's attended. So how are you trying to promote the great things that are happening at Edgewood High School when they might not have as much opportunity to hear about it because they don't have neighborhood, you know, there might not be a friend or a family member
sure.
who's attended.
Well, we have a recruitment plan for this spring, starting with a letter out to all 8th grade families, notifying them that, you know, we exist, of course, when our open house is going to be, brochure, all that stuff, the pre-registration form. Students do have to make a conscious decision to come to Edgewood High School because we don't have the boundary zones to
right.
delineate that. That's one piece. The second piece is Mr. Rubikov and I will be visiting the 8th grade classes at all the feeder schools, and we're going to be doing an assembly. So he'll take the mic and present West Covina High School and the attributes and opportunities, as will myself with Edgewood high school. So they're going to get it that way as well. You know, marketing type of thing. You know, if you drive by our campus, you'll see the banners out there, the marquee, right, et cetera. We've also considered ad out in the local newspaper to advertise type of thing. Again, we're getting on the map slowly and surely. Last year, we took the entire school, the Chapman University, the entire school, all the ninth graders, and we were wearing Edgewood blue, of course, and we wanted to really showcase that. It's a great enrichment opportunity for Constitution Day. We sent some kids back again in the spring. We have something coming up in a neighboring district, the Green Day, Go Green Day initiative. So we're going to be taking some kids to that as well, again, to get ourselves on the map, and, of course, we'll want all of the students to be donning their Edgewood blue. So things like that. But the athletic aspect of it as well, every time I turn around, my athletic director says that, you know, he's been in an away game, or an AD from another school says, what, Edgewood's back? I didn't know about it. So just athletically, that's an opportunity for us to publicize and promote the school. So there's a multitude of these things going on formally and informally. The alumni group, we're really cultivating that. Next month, we actually have an open house for alumni. And on our website, we have a link. I know there's blogs and whatnot. Our lead custodian at the school is an alum as well. So we're really excited about that. So we're
Edgewood
reaching out.
High School?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have two alums sitting on the board.
Mm-hmm. You're invited. You're invited. It's going to be on a Saturday.
Yes. Oh.
So it's going to be on a Saturday. It's going to be great. You know, we're going to have the band play, all the pomp and whatnot, and give tours. And, you know, the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive. Some folks don't like the Lions. You know, they like the Trojan and the color, but they understand it's a new day. And, you know, West Covina High School is no longer the Spartans anymore, right? They're the Bulldogs. So, but we're really excited about trying to enlist the support of the local community, but specifically with alumni folks.
As long as you don't change Trojan Way, I'm okay. Name of the street?
Pride Place? And it rings.
I know, right? But if you want to keep the alumni and the spirit, there could be one thing left.
Okay. And she's right. When you enter the cafeteria, there is a mural. It's kind of a little bit defunct and whatnot. So we want to kind of showcase that and see if we can polish it up a bit, because the kids need to know the history. And if you look at our yearbook from last year, right when you open up, it starts kind of like a tour. This was Edgewood back then, and some pictures and whatnot to where we are now. The kids need to know the storied past and tradition of the school to have that context. They really do, because it's – we've got alumni who are coaching baseball teams, right, going to the playoffs and things like that. So track stars, you know, long jump, you know these people, type of thing. God. So, yeah, there's so many people out there. So I think they're happy to see that we're back and functioning and flourishing.
Well, and I think that if there's a way that we can let people know where that it's two distinct schools, because sure. I've actually driven people past and shown, look at this is the entrance, and then when they see that it's its own unique school, they're more interested.
Sure.
But your banner's over on the corner, and you really can't see that there's actually distinction. But when you drive by and you see it's blue doors, you have that great opening that they can see, and I think that excites the students. But somehow to let them know that it's, I know that you're saying it's nice to have the middle school and high school together because the teachers can talk and there's those kind of things. But I think students like to think they're going to a high school.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see that it does have it, it really looks like it's a different school when you look at it from Trojan Way.
Sure.
So if there's a way we can kind of get people to see, the students that are interested to see that, I think even that visual makes a difference.
Sure, I agree.
But I think you guys are doing a phenomenal job, and I look forward to open house. Well,
maybe we need to mail Covina Valley Unified this
week. Yeah. 20% of the students you said are from outside of the district?
Correct.
Is that okay? And yes. what is the prediction thus far, or the projection for this incoming new ninth grade class? You think we'll get more?
It's quite possible. You know, throughout the year, there hasn't been much attrition at all. In fact, we've been adding students. To be honest, there's kids on deck right now that are waiting to come in at the end of the semester, so we're taking finals this week. So there's kids that we know of right now from outside the district and from the other high school who are looking to get ship. So, you know, we're staffed at a certain amount, so that's kind of a careful balance there, right? But I don't know, you know, the sky's the limit. When this was initially approved, we were talking 200 to 250. Right. So to adhere to that notion of a small learning community, I think we need to stay within that. But fortunately, it hasn't been a situation where we have to entertain lotteries and capping and things like that. But, you know, it could be where we get over 250 as far as incoming ninth graders next year, again, as we continue to market and the word gets out and the successes thus far. So
I have friends with children at the school who just say amazing things about the school, the parents. I have friends with 10th grade students and 9th grade students. So I applaud the effort of the teachers and the administration. I also was very impressed when I did the tour with Bassett. And I had to say it was a very different experience to walk into the Spanish class and to see all their kids with their computers open. And the teacher said, okay, I need by the end of this period a PowerPoint. You need to have 8 slides that I need. These are the things you need. And boom, they went to it. They were on the internet. And within the 5 minutes that I stood in the class, they were halfway through their PowerPoint, having downloaded photos, writing text. They were going to walk away from that period with a completely finished PowerPoint, which you don't get in a regular classroom. So the feedback I got from Bassett was, wow, you guys are the school of the future. And we could only dream of being that. So as a board member, that was really good to hear. And I pass that on to you, because that came from one of the board members from Bassett, who was really impressed. And little changes that you all do that you don't typically see at most high schools, like tables on wheels. And Bassett was incredibly not only impressed with the laptops that everybody gets, but the fact that you teachers could move your classrooms to fit whatever was going on in the classroom was also, they thought, wow, you guys thought of everything when it came to being student-focused. And so, again, I pass that on to the students and to the staff, looking at it from the lens of an outside school. So everyone is doing a really, really good job over there each time I've come on campus. I think the most shocking is going into your computer lab and not seeing a single computer. Tables.
Yeah.
Because the kids all
the
have
irony,
them.
It's kind of ironic.
You know,
right?
So you walk in and you're, wait a minute, where are the computers?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, it's a whole different way of looking at education, and I really appreciate that we're at that cutting edge. I did have one question about, you have a travel club, right? Don't you have a.
We did last year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I was going to say, they're not on the list, because didn't they go to New York? And. Yeah, okay.
And all their passports got revoked, so.
Cannot go to Paris. Yeah, and the commitment of the teachers, you know, I walk in the morning. I'm out there at 5:30 around Edgewood, and to see the number of cars beginning at 6 o'clock in the morning arriving is just unheard of. I'm just, oh, my God, there's 5, there's 6, there's 7. And by 6:30 when I'm done, it seems like half your staff is there.
Sure. Yeah.
So, again, thank you so much, teachers, for your level of commitment. You all are doing a phenomenal job. Thank you very much, Mr. Tavatori. Okay, I think we're done.
I just have one question. This is your middle school. How did the history awards go tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Went really, really well. The bleachers were almost full, and I'm not privy to who wins, so kids are kind of, you know, going to me throughout the day. Did I win? We had history day on Saturday, and so we had about 125 kids submit projects and presentations. And the strength of the event really is the judges. We have judges from all over. We had Edgewood High School teachers, middle school teachers, district folk, parents and kids of teachers as well. So, yeah, what I like about the event is it really encapsulates everything. The kids have to do research. They have to write. They have to prepare a display. But the other piece, and this is huge, and I mentioned this to the parents tonight, is they have to present. You know, and what I'm doing here right now, I couldn't do this when I was a 12-year-old or 13-year-old, and these kids are. And Ms. Kaplan, Seth did win.
He did.
For the individual.
I didn't know if I could ask in public.
Yeah, his project was on polio, so. But it's really good to showcase that tonight, and the kids had their medals. And you'll see tomorrow morning, these little kids will walk around with these medals on like
good.
They just won the Olympics, which is really cool.
Good.
So they'll be jingling down the hallway. So
I was just really impressed with their presentation, mm-hmm. and kudos to the teachers as well. And many of you were there to judge it, which was wonderful support. But it's a wonderful opportunity to. Mm-hmm. I walked away with learning a lot of things I didn't know mm-hmm. about many topics.
Sure.
So
mm-hmm.
it was wonderful
yeah.
for me as well.
I'm going to dovetail on her in terms of the middle school, and I know you all will indulge me just one moment. The poetry slam
for the middle school. When is it?
It's coming up. We had some issues kind of coordinating with Nogales because they're kind of our our guide with the whole thing, because we brought the group over, and so they need to prepare our kids. So we have workshops, essentially, is what we do. And the Tribune last year covered that. After that, then the kids actually prepare their poems and then compete.
Okay.
So one has to occur before the other. Sure.
Okay.
So that's, we're looking February. March.
February.
Late February? Okay.
I look forward to it. My kids love it. So that's why I'm asking. And but I did hear from a little bird, you all may do it at the high school.
We did last year.
It was a little smaller.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Smaller. So when is that taking place? Okay.
It was late.
I'd love to go to that, too, because your poetry slams are so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. My children still use those poetry slam poems in their homework. They can quote and recite some of them. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to item number 11. I will turn this over to Ms. Kaplan. The Williams Valenzuela Casey lawsuit settlement.
You know, this is Mr. Siemens' big moment.
Yes.
And we asked him to prepare a PowerPoint.
Did he put the PowerPoint on?
And no, I don't want to take it away from him. So
I was going to say, I hope it's not PowerPoint.
I report that the second quarter we had no complaints under this lawsuit settlement, whatever you want to call it.
Yay, very good. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that now brings us to, I'm happy to say, the information session, Board of Education discussion. Is there anything that any of the board members wish to discuss? Mr. Cox.
Item number 15 was appropriately put on consent, which was the audit and the acceptance of the audit report. I did want to take a moment to express gratitude from Ms. Baston and her staff for the excellent work. Again, we've set this standard going forward and without any exceptions and notations and things of that nature in the report. So congratulations on that, and we appreciate the hard work that you've done. Yes.
Congratulations to your department and to yourself. Thank you. Ms. Shoemaker, any board discussion? Ms. Poulos?
No.
Mr. Spence?
I do.
No.
Okay, I will turn it over to Ms. Kaplan.
As you received in your board packet, I was approached last week by a non-for-profit Chinese organization, Chinese Foundation for Teacher Development, which is part of the Ministry of Education in China. And they collaborate with another organization in terms of bringing American educators to China to do a collaboration and meet with educators in China, as well as go to schools, visit with kids. This is different than the one that I think we recently saw in the paper with Roland, where you had to apply for it. They actually selected our district because of our overall performance with the API, the implementation of the IB program, the Mandarin programs that we have in the district, and the reputation our district has had for good instructional leadership. The trip is fully funded by this non-for-profit organization, which includes everything, and the benefits for our district going forward is, number one, just the opportunity as we look at a strategic plan and we really look at preparing our students for the 21st century, what does it mean to be a global citizen, as well as the whole idea of international mindedness, which we are really focusing on at our IB school, our IB Edgewood. The opportunity of seeing a different educational system and getting a perspective from them, as well as the goal is to build relationships, whether it be sister schools where there's student communication back and forth, but they also have an international camp in the summer that our students would be able to participate in, which again is paid for by this organization. We would just have to figure out how kids would get the airfare. So as they talk about traveling at Edgewood, it would be a wonderful opportunity. I talked to Lauren McBain, who was the director of policy and research at High Tech High School in San Diego, who went in October because I wanted to hear from her if it was beneficial to both her school and for the team that went, and she felt it was extremely beneficial that they learned as much and that they're actually working in their school right now of doing collaborative projects with students in China, with students in their school, you know, through the internet and things like that. Because I just found about
really researched it last week. I didn't have an opportunity to put it on the agenda, but if we are going to participate in it, it's February 22nd to 29th. I need some direction from the board if it would be supported. They want superintendent, an elementary principal, a middle school principal, and a high school principal. Clearly, as a high school principal, Edgewood is just perfect for that, and Mark. And for middle school, I thought of Hollandcrest. Mr. Glissier has been very involved in an organization that works with students traveling around the country and very much involved in kind of this global, international connection with students, from students to students. And elementary, Cheryl Lasker is a veteran administrator in our district, and I feel would be on two folds really wonderful ambassador. Wonderful in terms of our district and representing our district, but she's highly respected as well from the elementary principals, and I think what she would bring back and be able to share would be really a value to our elementary principals as well. So I'm bringing it up here. It's not on the agenda, but I'm hoping to get some idea of if you would support this. I think it would be a wonderful opportunity for our district. It's only 3 days and 3 days out of the district because it falls in the middle of a weekend. Check the calendars of all three schools, and there's nothing going on at the schools that would cause them not to be able to participate.
Any comments?
Sounds great to me.
So it's too late for us to approve it on the 24th?
You can approve it. We could put it on. I just couldn't have it physically on the agenda, and I need to let them know because otherwise they'll go with another district.
Before the 24th, you have to let them know?
Yes.
But I don't think we can discuss it.
I mean, well, it's discussion. I'd like to get a sense if you support it.
But does that violate the Brown Act?
To discuss it? I don't believe it. You're not voting on it.
But you're polling us.
Yeah.
And you can't poll us.
You could place the item on the agenda.
Tonight? You could place it on the agenda?
Agenda.
Okay.
But that you said that, I mean, you need to make your travel plans now.
Right. But we can put it on the agenda tonight. We can just verbally put it on the agenda.
The 24th to accept.
The 24th.
Yeah. Not for tonight.
And if you want to keep it off consent, so there can be discussion if there's any other discussion to be had.
Well, I want to say thank you very much for making this opportunity available to our district and to showcase it. I know, understand we can't, you can't poll us, but I'm just really impressed. It's like Edgewood, you know, all these impressive programs and the opportunity to showcase what it is we do. So thank you for bringing that forward. So we'll put it on the next agenda, correct? Do we need to have a special meeting? Because we're looking at travel and costs.
I guess if there's concerns, I'd like to hear concerns tonight, and if there are major concerns, that would help me understand if I need to move forward with it, if there's anybody who has major concerns about it.
I mean, I have questions about it, but I don't know. You know, I haven't had a chance. I was going to talk to the high-tech. You know, someone did in San Diego, and I haven't done that yet.
Okay, so do we need to have a special meeting? That was my question.
We'll receive communication between now and next week. Have an individual.
Okay, so if there's individual questions or concerns, please individually contact me if you have concerns about it.
Just don't pull us.
I'm not trying to pull you. I'm just trying to get a sense of if it's something. I mean, this is travel outside of the country, and I don't know if it's new to the district in terms of doing that, and if something that you think would be beneficial to the district.
Okay, and then we'll have it on our next agenda to vote on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so dates to remember, January 16th, 2012, we have Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Schools and district office will be closed. We also have January 24th, our next Board of Education meeting. Being there no further business to come before the board, the regular meeting of the board of January 10th, 2012 is adjourned at 8:34. Thank you, everyone. Happy New Year. Good night.